So we're in Italy. And even before we went to this concert, it dawned on me. Now, I'm just revealing my brilliance here, okay? But it dawned on me. This has been here all along. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, I've never experienced it before, but it's been here to experience. And what makes it an experience? Me going there, first of all. It's not coming to me. I'm going to it, right? So anyway, just some little things I'd like to point out about this concert. It, very similar to the one we just did, but I thought I'll tell the one in Italy. This one has anybody ever heard a harpsichord? Now, this, it's the precursor to the piano. And I think I talked about this a little bit before, but it plucks the strings rather than hammer them. So there's no dynamic effect. It's all the same volume because it's always being plucked at the same force. And this one was really cool because, I mean, it was like a grand piano size one. And it was up on the platform with, man, what did they have? They had like three violins, I think, a cello, a bass. They had a string bass. And the cello player was off the charts dramatic. It was just an experience to see. And it was fun. When they, before they even played, they came marching down the aisle like, you know, they were really something. And I was impressed right off the bat before anything happened. But then they sat down. In fact, they played several pieces where there was a solo instrument. And the soloist would stand up and without music play the whole thing, you know, which is probably not that big a deal to them, but it's impressive. But what I noted was these are normal people, and they might be attractive naturally. It might be, like I said, I was impressed when they walked down the hall, you know. But when their glory really shone was when what they had prepared for a long time ahead of time came out of their hands. Their glory wasn't just looking at them. Their glory is in what they could do. And when you experience that. And I was crying at that one too. I mean, it was like, this stuff's so. And part of it helps if you have some understanding of what you are hearing. And so I was, you know, I'm not that advanced, but I'm hearing some things harmonically and stuff that are just, when a composer puts notes in certain places, it creates some tension, and then it's just like, yeah, you know. And you know what that is? It's from the composer, too. It's a glory of a gift. And it actually reflects on God. They got that from God, you know? But for us to experience it, we couldn't just see the poster on the door. We had to sign up. We had to go there. And you know what? Right now, there's concerts going on in Italy that I'm not experiencing because I'm not there, right? Okay, there's a necessity for proximity, and the responsibility for proximity is up to me, okay? Just some basic principles that I'd like to delve into a little bit here today. Is this okay? All right, let's go to Luke 2:9. And what I'm going to do is I already did this just a little bit, but I'd like to make this connection between proximity and glory, okay? Because I'm going to define glory just a little bit with regard to ability. It's like when I was just using the microphone right here, right now. Why was it important to have this proximity? Because I have this very wonderful voice. What do you want, man? No, thank you, thank you, thank you. I have this really wonderful voice. Actually, you know, really, you know, singing voices, you know, it's, why do you put a microphone in somebody? Because for you to encounter their glory at a greater level, you need to be able to hear it. Is that right? So what is the purpose of this microphone? It's to magnify a glory. Now, it will also magnify dissonance, things that aren't right. That's why it's important for there to be preparation in what you're putting into it. Is that right? Okay. So anyway, I'd like to make this connection between glory and proximity and how God wants to get involved in this for us. In fact, this is the whole plan. Man, I'll precede this a little bit more. This is the whole plan, because what was the problem with God's ability to work with man? It was proximity, wasn't it? There was a great divide. We could not be close to him, and so we could not experience his glory, because you have to be close. There's a proximity necessity. Do you see that? And so this, to resolve this, this is why Jesus came. From his standpoint, again, and again, I look at it kind of like that recital in the church. They did their part. They're there playing. They're prepared. Man, they are perfect. It's like, find me one note they missed. Well, I heard maybe one or two, you know. That the cello player, I don't know if you've ever heard cellos very much, but I went to college, and sometimes I thought, do cellos know how to play in tune or not? You know, it's like, that was maybe just me being whatever I was. But this guy, man, he was going up, and you know, they go way up on the fingerboard there and just landing on these notes right in tune. It's like, I think I heard one that he kind of slipped on just a little bit, but man, it's amazing. You're thinking, how much time was put into developing this ability to do this? And you know what? He's playing right now, and I'm not hearing him because I'm not there right now, right? God is playing right now, and he's just needing us to be able to behold him, to be affected by it. Amen? Guaranteed, tears will flow. Right? When you really behold the glory of God, when you really encounter him, it's going to do something to you, right? So anyway, this is what happened. And it's so interesting how the presentation, and we're going to look at this, just the presentation of Jesus in a manger was an exposure of God's glory, wasn't it? Just the visual. And again, there's so much more to glory than just visual. Not just walking down the aisle acting like you can play. You got to play, don't you? Right? That's what Jesus was doing that's what God was doing with Jesus. He said, well, he's coming down the aisle right now, but you just wait. Right? You wait until he starts doing stuff. Okay. So that's what happened in Luke 2:9. Remember, shepherds out in the field, angels show up, and the glory of God shone all around them. I'm thinking, what glory was that? Because we're going to look at what that means. There was an impression made on them about the greatness of God, just in the light, just in the angels. But I'm thinking, you know what? They were singing some tunes. Isn't that going to be cool? I don't know if it's going to be like Handel or Bach or something. Man, I had to sing Bach in college. That stuff is hard. I mean, it's you're doing it without any consonants or anything. It's like it's all, yeah, no words, like just vocal calisthenics or whatever, you know. and it might be some of that, but it's going to be angelic, isn't it? Heavenly. That's what was happening. They were these shepherds. We're getting a front row seat to a musical invitation. Isn't that amazing? And the glory of God was exposed just in that. Isn't that interesting? And from that, they were able to go and actually discover Jesus. Just a baby, but there was an exposure of his glory. And I'm thinking, can you imagine how precious, how special it was to be one of those that actually saw him in the manger? There's not, the kings came later, you know. It might have just been the shepherds at that point, right? Other than Jesus or Joseph and Mary and the cows. I don't know if there were goats. I don't know if they would have let goats in. But there were sheep, I think. Donkeys. There's donkeys. Anyway, isn't that interesting how God, and you wonder his design in that, in including just a common person in the presentation of the appearance of the Messiah. But he didn't just let it slide and say, it doesn't matter whether I do this or not. No, he exposed his glory in this way. Amen? So, again, I want to look at what glory is. And it's not just, I mean, this has been the amazing thing to me, like with musicians and athletes and people that do not look to me. If you lined them up and you said, okay, which one can do this? It's really interesting how the most unexpected appearance can do some amazing things. Because it's not limited to what you look like. This should make us all feel really good, right? Right? But the glory is the ability exposed. Let's look here at John 2:11. The demonstration of miracle-working power and ability. And I want us to see this, when we glorify God, that's amazing to me that we can glorify God. What? He's the creator of the universe. So what's happened when we're glorifying him? We're exposing what he can do. Now, does it change what he can do? No, it's just like Italy. It's the same all the time. But when you get close to it, when you start magnifying, when you start talking about, even me telling you about Venice here right now, gets you an inroad, or you start visualizing something, don't you? Because it's being talked about. What did I do? I glorified Venice. Now, and it was very small part of it. But that's how God is. You never get done glorifying him, right? But what are you doing when you do? You're magnifying something that he is and that he can do, all right? Okay, so John 2:11. And I'm just going to tell you this. Remember, this was when his mother, well, they went to a wedding and they ran out of wine. They didn't have Lindsay is their administrator for the wedding planning. And so they ran out. And so they called Pastor Stephen. They said, do you know anybody? It's like, oh, that was, what's that? That's Emma's category. Okay, so Emma was Mary in this case, I guess. And said, we don't have, and Amazon doesn't deliver until tomorrow, and they're on strike right now because it's Christmas, right? So Mary, what does she do? She gets all the servants together, and she says, whatever he tells you to do, you do, right? And amazingly, when nothing is going on, they keep doing what he says to do. And what was really interesting about this, and when we read this, is he did not do this alone. Right. It's really interesting that he included, in fact, he didn't actually do any of it. He just gave directions. Right? But when it gets done, remember what happens. And it wasn't until the master of the wedding was actually drinking the wine that it indicates that it turned into wine. It could have been water right up until the sip was taken. So faith was in action the whole time, right? But look at what this passage calls this experience that they're all having together in proximity to Jesus. None of this is happening apart from him, is it? It's all close to him. Don't you feel sorry for the guy that said, I'm not going to that wedding tonight. I have some video games to play. Missed out. Yeah. Right? Makes me feel that way about a Sunday morning often. It's like, somebody missed out. Okay, right? John 2:11. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus did what? Huh. So just looking at Jesus, just camping out in his presence, wasn't actually experiencing his glory, according to this. Is that right? Because his glory was revealed in what he could do, not just in what he looked like. It's not going to be enough to just behold him without participating in what he does. Amen? That's a different kind of seeing than just liking the way somebody looks. This is not just infatuation. This is commitment, right? Right? Okay. Let's look at this statement here. In Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, direct access was provided to God's glory. So let's make this connection. When Jesus was on the earth, I want to make this statement. When Jesus was on the earth, what did it take to have a revelation of his glory? Well, it's kind of like Venice you had to be there, didn't you? You had to be there in his physical presence. Now, I thought there was the time, though. Remember when the officer said, don't even come to my... But you know what? He was talking to Jesus, right? It was Jesus' physical presence that required the exposure of his glory as long as he was on this earth, right? That's why he had to leave. And what happened when he died on the cross? What's the major problem between us and God? Proximity, right? Access to who he is. And man, we need to really be encouraged in this, because when we draw close to him, we're going to sing this song. When we draw close to him, there needs to be something we're seeing when we do. We're seeing a God that can do anything. We're beholding what he's already done. We had men's on Wednesday, and Stephen commented on this. This is how you stir up this glory of God, as you begin to magnify what he's already done. You tell your own personal testimony about what he's done, right? And it's coming alive. Now you're not just acknowledging that there is a God. Yeah, everybody can do that. No, you're actually beholding his glory. That's a different thing. That's personal, right? Okay, so in his death, burial, and resurrection, access was provided to God's glory for who? This is really cool. So he said, now I'm going to go away, and the Holy Spirit's going to come. And now anybody that believes in me has direct access. That barrier's been removed. When he died on the cross, the separation from the Holy of Holies, from the glory of God, from his ability to do things, was removed, right? We've been given direct access to the glory of God. Praise God. Isn't that good? All right, let me read this. Because of his preparing us, we have direct access to to his presence. Now, there are stipulations with this. Man, who was doing announcements today? Or somebody was saying this. Oh, no, Sandra was talking about it. She said, well, children, I can't be in two places at once. And I thought, Shazam, what a great example. It's impossible to draw close to God while you're close to the world. So there is a necessity, and this is how Jesus prepares us. What did Jesus always do when he would meet somebody? He'd say, your sins are forgiven, now don't anymore. It's kind of simple, right? But what was the necessity? He would do that before he would expose his glory, didn't he? And he would make people mad because he's doing this. But here's the thing. Advancing to his glory requires discontinuing from the world. And Jesus doesn't come to condemn us for the world. He comes to deliver us from the world. Amen? So what he does when we begin to draw close to him, he prepares us. In the process of taking a step towards him, he's preparing us for the exposure of his glory in us. Now we'll see how powerful this is, okay? Man, this is good. All right. Hebrews 10:19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. That's what happened, right? Because of the, now, just because I can go to Italy, do I? Right? Who gets to go to Italy? Well, you might have to save up some bucks. It's going to cost you something, right? You're going to have to make some plans. You're going to have to do something to actually get there. But he's made a way. Everybody's not going to go there. You can get born again and not go there, right? I mean, you're going to be born again by the blood of Jesus. But just because you've been given access doesn't mean you're going there, right? By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with a sincere hearts, fully trusting him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. What's happened? We've chosen Christ over the world, turned our back on him, and what does he do? He prepares us for his glory. Amen? There is that necessity. We can't just say, okay, you know, in addition to everything else I like to do in my life, I'm just going to go to the Holy of Holies. And after that, I'm going to the bar because I need a drink with my buddies. You know what I mean? Or whatever. No. He said, no. What's been happening in Christ is you're being prepared for the most holy of holies by the blood of Jesus. Amen? But what does he say twice in this thing? You have to go there. Let us go. Let us go there. All right. Look at James 4:8. Coming close to God creates distance from the world. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. There's always a connection there. There always needs to be this understanding that, and very wonderfully, the action that precedes the other one is not the cleansing. The action that precedes is the coming. If we can see that, do you see the difference? Because what naturally you naturally feel like you have to do is when I come out from playing with Tebow, before my wife's going to give me a nice smooch, I have to take a shower. God's not like my wife. I'm so grateful for that. He likes the way Tebow smells. Tebow's my dog, I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Tebow's my dog. Boy, that could have been disastrous. All right. Tebow's my dog. He likes to waller in his in all kinds of stuff. Anyway, so when I played with him, I do not smell good, even though it's like, I don't know. That's the problem with the world. You don't know you stink, you know? And but what's cool is God is our shower. He's our cleanser. He doesn't say, get fixed before you come to me. He says, come to me now. Amen? What he's most passionate, that's why while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? So it's not about what we can do right. It's about what he's going to do when we come to him. Amen? But there does need to be this change of relationship. I'm no longer married to the world. That those things are not my identity anymore. I'm not going to hold on to them and say, that's what I do. That's what I identify with. Right? There's going to need to be, if you're going to be impressed by God's glory, and I'm telling you what, it far extinguishes anything in the world. Amen? Is this okay? All right. Let me read this again. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. All right, who initiates this? He does. He actually initiated initially, but now it's up to us. He's prepared. He booked the church. Whether you're going to show up there or not now is up to you, right? Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Huh. So that's so important to become impressed by him. We're going to see what this looks like. Okay. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Is this the Old Testament trying to put condemnation upon us? No, this is James. Right? Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Man, can we go to the next chapter? Okay. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and what will happen? He will lift you up in honor. Huh. God's waiting all that. What is that? What is that lifting up in honor? That's God's glory. That's God doing something that we can't do ourselves. Amen. That's a supernatural demonstration of a God thing. That's waiting on us simply doing what we can do, but we withhold way too much. And it's just coming to him. Amen. It sounds a little bit too simple, but we'll get there, okay? When we draw near, 2 Corinthians 3:18. When we draw near, we behold and become his glory. Now, here's the cool thing about this. What is God really great at doing? You know, I was talking to him just, I thought, man, God, I'm impressed by these things that I can see, but you're the creator of the universe. You know? It's amazing, this God that we're talking to, and yet somehow he's impressed when we do. It's like that one passage is, who am I that you're even mindful of me at all? And yet, he's done so much for us to be able to just come right into his presence like that. But here's the wonderful thing about it. What was the purpose of Christ? To break down the barrier, right? To give us access. But what is that access for? Not so that we can just come and see what God can do. Now listen to this. So that we can come in to the Holy of Holies and become what God can do. I mean, this is really amazing. The God of creation wants us to become his glory. Not just behold his glory. Now, it requires the beholding of him. But the purpose of the beholding is not just so he gets accolades. It's so that we become what we see. Amen? Yeah. This is really powerful, all right? Second Corinthians 3:18. So all of us, don't you like that? Can you say all of us with me? Say, that means me. Man, he's a man of faith, isn't he? Yeah, all of us have had that veil removed. Man, let's get a vision of that. That there's no barrier between us anymore, amen? We have direct access into the very presence of God. Because that's going to be a lie. Something I've done is keeping me from him. You know, especially, you know, we have this app thing. It's really cool. It's really been busy lately. I don't know if y'all have noticed. It's called Glow. It's G-L-O-O. And it's a thing that we do in the church here where there's these ads put out on the internet in our local area where people can request prayer. And I get a notification on my phone. It's actually an app, and it says so-and-so would like to have prayer for this. And so we contact them, and we can interact with them and stuff. You know, and we had one this just a couple days ago. And he says, I'm concerned about whether I'm going to go to heaven or not, you know. So I'm doing everything for Jesus. I'm serving him and everything else, but I'm concerned if I'm going to go to heaven. Well, that indicates to me that there's still sin there somewhere that's causing him to feel lack of confidence, right? It's one of the biggest lies we can have. Something that I've done wrong is going to make me worse than I was before I gave my life to him in the first place. Incapable of being forgiven, right? And this is one of the best, greatest revelations you can have, is nothing I can do is going to keep me from my access to the Holy of Holies. In fact, what I need to do is go to the Holy of Holies if I have a problem with sin. That's my answer. Not running away from it or feeling I can't go there. No. And the heart of God is so. Isn't it cool how God is? This is the love of God. He's not holding anything against us. Isn't that amazing? So all of us have had that veil removed, can see and reflect. I don't know if I really like that word reflect as much as become the glory. But let's keep going on this. Of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Now, what I've always thought, well, that's kind of weird. Am I going to start looking like that Jesus picture on the wall of my grandma's house? You know, that's not the image. I believe it's like Jesus' exposure of his glory. We're going to be demonstrations of his power. Amen? Oh, let's go to this next one. 2 Corinthians 2:14. This is so powerful. And I see this passage just a little bit differently in this context. Become a demonstration of his glory and power and love. So actually, what Jesus sees in us as our greatest potential isn't us just giving him praise and liking Chris Tomlin songs, you know. It's us becoming banners, demonstrations. He says, you know what? You want to know what I did in somebody? You know a great example of the purpose of Christ being fulfilled? Look at Stephen. Look at Noel. Amen? Look at Jordan. Right? You know, if we want to glorify God, we begin to behold who he is and become who he is. Amen? That's when his heart's being fulfilled. But it requires us coming, doesn't it? We have to go there. But thank God, he has made us his captives. Isn't this cool? Now, I think sometimes we can retaliate from that if we're going to be offended too easily. But it's a wonderful thing to be captivated by something this precious. Amen? and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphant procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. So isn't this cool? The drawing close to behold the glory of God is necessary for us to encounter him, for us to experience him, for us to say, wow, God is so amazing. But God's purpose in it is for us to become one of those demonstrations of his glory, where God has come into a life that could not make it on its own, and because of his presence that they've yielded to, becomes a demonstration. Yeah, you can document this. God has been working in them. And you can then you become a walking glory light. Amen. I think that's where Jesus said, you are the light of the world. He said, I'm the light of the world. And then he said, you're the light of the world. You become the light of the world when you're beholding, experiencing his light. Amen. So I would like for us to just do this a little bit today. Can we do this? And what this requires, and again, I was thinking about my experience of that concert. Because when you come in there, they tell you, okay, everybody has to turn off your phone, right? And you can't take pictures. They said we could at the last song, but they didn't really tell us what the last song was. So I cheated. And I got one of the Tchaikovsky songs, I think. Anyway, but what I noticed about that was, and I mentioned this earlier, a little bit of my understanding of this music allows me to fixate on it a little bit more. And nothing against my wife, but my wife was saying, man, I'm getting tired. What about you? And I'm thinking, I know she was getting sleepy, but I'm thinking, and you know, I was probably tempted too, but I was kind of caught up in, the more you become aware of what you're beholding, of what you're hearing, the more you fixate on it. And the more you're unable to look at something else. Right? The answer, you know, the church so much of the time wants to get you to quit looking at other stuff. And Jesus is saying, just look at me. There's so much to see in me that you begin to see me, you'll forget you have a phone. And if the kids were in there, they go, that would be a great intake of air. That cannot happen, right? But there's an opportunity for us in these next few moments. I'd like for us to just do this. And we're going to sing a song if the group can come forward. I don't know if we communicated this with you, but we're going to sing a song. We just did it a couple weeks ago in our service, but man, I thought about this. We have to do this song. Is this all right? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite you to do something. I'm going to invite you to come forward or turn around in your chair, but for us to fixate. Can we do that today? We've been given access to the very presence of God, the Holy of Holies, right? The presence of Jesus. And I'd like for us to just take this time. We're going to sing this. You can sing along with us. But, you know, the only thing about worship music for me is sometimes you can get focused on the music and you can get diverted from the object of our worship. The whole purpose of music is not worship. Our fixation on his face is worship. As long as music is helping us to do that, it's a tool. Amen? So I want us to just take some time, and I welcome you to come forward. But let's just commit some time to just drawing near. That's what this song talks about. Just drawing near to him. It will look like this. I believe it comes from a passion for him more than anything else. So you can't formalize it too much and say this is exactly how you do it, or it becomes religion along with everything else, right? But we do need to fixate on him. Amen? And we do need, and I encourage us to make a commitment to God to reconsecrate ourselves before him. Say, God, again, I'm turning from those other things. Amen? And let's allow the presence of Jesus here this morning to wonderfully, not condemningly, but preciously wash over us. Amen? There are things that he wants to do in our life that are for his glory. I mean, there's places that we need to go. There's direction that we have for our life. There's healing. There's deliverance. There's ministry. That we don't need to go looking for it on our own. We find it in his presence.